banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome in to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We are live from the Milwaukee Neri Home and Remodeling Show, Wisconsin Expo Center at State Fair Park. We're in the middle of aisle 400. I'm going to stop by. The doors open at 10 o'clock. I'll be on the air till noon. This next hour is going to be fun for me. Our special guest is Dr. Amin Afsari, and I enjoy the time. It's good to see you again,
sir. Good to see you again, too.
Yeah, I want to tell the story real quick, and I told you this off the air, but I've had the opportunity to send three people that I know of to see you who have had hand issues. And two of the people that I work with, and one that was just a caller that called in and said, look, can you recommend somebody? And I told him to go see you, and I got a great voicemail back. And they all three have said the same thing. And that is that you're really nice. They said that, really smart, which I think we know. But they said the bedside manner, which is your demeanor and how you explain what's going on, is second to none. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, absolutely. I appreciate the feedback. And
sure.
It's good to hear the good comments. That's one of the things I pride myself on in the office, is explaining problems, explaining diagnoses, and including the patient in the decision-making process as to how we're going to handle a diagnosis.
Do you know, I would think at times, doctor, because of this, how smart you are in the education that you have, that it would be easy to just kind of go over people's head. One comment I get about this show mm-hmm. is you guys do a great job of dumbing it down a little bit. My wife is a nurse, mm-hmm. so a lot of times I'll ask her about stuff, yeah. and she'll say, no, you might want to go this direction, or
sure.
that's not how you pronounce that.
Sure.
And so I think it's important that people understand that you guys will explain the things that you're talking about better than most.
Yeah, you know, and there's times where some of the diagnoses we deal with are arthritis a lot of times, and that's something where there's a lot of options. And we don't have to jump to surgery, and there's no definitive answer. It depends from patient to patient how you're going to handle that. So there's variability.
Hey, before we get into it, we're going to talk a lot today about hand injuries in sport. And mm-hmm. we will get into a number of doing some research. There's a number of terms that I've never heard of before that I'm going to ask you about.
Sure.
But before we do that, can we talk about your background and your upbringing, where you were born and raised, and how you got
yeah,
into
sure.
what you're doing?
I'm a cheesehead. I was born in Wisconsin. In fact, Whitefish Bay, born and raised.
A Blue Duke.
Went to Whitefish Bay High.
Attaboy. That's
and,
good.
I played soccer there all 4 years. And then stayed in Wisconsin, went to Madison for undergraduate.
Okay.
And after I lose track, about 15 years of training outside of Wisconsin, I came back, and
where else did you live?
Well, I was in Los Angeles for 4 years for medical school.
Okay.
5 years in Dayton, Ohio for residency, and then 1 year at NYU at the Hospital for Joint Diseases for my hand and upper extremity orthopedic fellowship. So it was a great experience getting out and getting across the country, and it's good, actually, really nice to be back in Milwaukee and living here again and raising a family here.
Did you know when you were doing the travels that someday you wanted to come home?
I wasn't quite sure, to be honest. Living 4 years in Los Angeles, you really love the weather.
Sure.
I mean, the weather is, there's a lot to be spoken for the weather out there, but this morning we stepped outside and it was really chilly.
Yeah.
And you get that taste of fall and getting ready for winter. And I tell you what, the change of season here is something that people in Los Angeles will never appreciate.
How many, and your family, do you have children?
Yeah.
How many kids?
Two kids, a boy and a girl, Charlie, Isabel.
And, how old is Charlie?
Charlie's 8.
That's great. And Isabel?
Isabel's 7.
Man, that's awesome.
We got the Irish twins.
That's good.
They keep us busy.
Man, I miss that time. I've three grandsons that live across the street, 6, 5, and 2.5.
Wow.
And so we get to do that. But I miss when Katie was little and my son Matthew was little. I miss a lot of that stuff.
And my wife's a saint because she can she handles everything, and she really has to really It does a great job just keeping up with them. They keep
That's
us
awesome.
Busy while I'm working too many hours.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it seems like we put in a lot. Can I ask you really quickly, your year at NYU, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was a really incredible year. It's a fellowship year. So you've already done 5 years of orthopedic training, and now you're just there to learn hand and upper extremity. You're refining your technique in the hand, wrist, elbow, and even up to the shoulder. And you're working with world-class docs who are treating patients who come in from, they fly in from around the world to treat with an attending physician whose office is on Fifth Avenue next to the Guggenheim. And it's you'll see every walk of life. And then at the same time, you're working at Bellevue Hospital where you'll see some of the craziest hand injuries and putting fingers back on. And it's a really challenging year.
Man, oh, man.
That all the way to Jamaica Hospital as well, where 50 Cent had some experiences as well.
Wow. So you've been, and the stuff that you learned in Los Angeles and then at Dayton, Ohio, and NYU, you've taken this boy from Whitefish Bay, sent him around, and you learned everything you basically need to learn, and then you brought it home, and not only to the state of Wisconsin, but to your community in Whitefish Bay.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that.
It's really nice.
A really good story.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, thank you for letting me talk about that. With a couple of things, while I was doing the scoreboard show last night, the high school football scoreboard show, I'm watching the TV in the studio, and all of a sudden it comes out that Gordon Hayward, who is I'm a basketball guy for the most part.
Yeah.
He plays for the Utah Jazz, played at Butler, one of the best players in college. In fact, he almost hit a half-court shot to win the national championship and rimmed it out. He then left for the Utah Jazz, been there for a while. He's expected to miss at least 6 weeks. He dislocated and broke a finger on his left hand. The finger without breaking it, correct?
Correct. If you dislocate a joint without any fracture occurring, then you're basically injuring ligaments. The ligaments around the joint are torn, either partially or completely torn, and then the joint pops out of place. And those are the ones where usually a trainer or athlete themselves will say, yeah, I just popped it back into place.
Right.
And you take an x-ray, there's nothing broken, it looks perfect, and it's hard to tell whether or not they had actually, when I see them in the office later on, I don't even know if they actually dislocated 100% for sure or not. Maybe it went halfway out. But correct, you can dislocate without breaking the bone.
And so he dislocated and broke a finger on his left hand. They don't talk about which finger. He's a right-handed basketball player, but I would assume, and I might be wrong, but if they a broken finger, is it for sure surgery with that?
It, you know what, Mike? It's hard to say. It depends on his x-ray. It depends on the severity of the break. Sometimes a tendon can just avulse a small piece of bone, a little fleck of bone, and the dislocation may have popped right back. They may have been able to pop it right back in, and with a small avulsion fracture, he may not even need surgery.
When they talk about him missing six weeks.
So at 6 weeks, you know, if he, and especially if he has surgery, and 6 weeks with surgery, if we find out later on, that's probably potentially a devastating injury to the middle knuckle of the finger. There is a variation of fracture dislocation at the middle knuckle of the finger where that joint with a significant fracture and dislocation can cause quite a bit of stiffness and can be a long recovery process.
Boy, if thank goodness it wasn't his right hand, because he's a heck of a shooter. Left hand with a basketball player, he depending on I guess the severity, would it matter to you which finger it was, Doc?
On the left hand, I don't think so. I think any of them, in terms of basketball, would be about the same.
Okay.
Now, the other possibility is it's a mallet finger, and a mallet finger is where...
Hey, that was one of the terms I was going to bring up
later.
Really? I went around the office yesterday and asked everybody, nobody had ever heard of a mallet finger.
You're kidding.
No.
So I jumped the shark.
Yeah, that's okay. We're going to bring that up in the next segment, but
right.
Thanks for... If Rachel from my office is listening, she's laughing right now,
right.
So... let's talk about that, if that's
so
what it was.
That's the end joint of the finger, the knuckle at the very closest to the tip of the finger. And that joint can have an injury where the ball strikes the tip of the finger, it bends down suddenly, and then the tendon on the back of the finger, the tendon that straightens it, will pull off a little fleck of bone. And then you could have a dislocation there as well, which can be popped back into place and may heal just fine.
Wow. Hey, before we get to a break, Jacoby Brissett, who has played quarterback for the New England Patriots, and now with Brady coming back, they have put him on injury reserve with a right thumb injury. Mm-hmm. He underwent surgery to repair the thumb that he had injured during week three with the Texans. As a quarterback, thumb obviously very important.
I bet Belichick's thumb is probably more important than his.
Yeah, I bet it is right now it is. I bet I agree with that. Surgery to repair the thumb, put him on injured reserve. He had hurt it and still had to play,
yeah,
and struggle throwing the ball, I think, and gripping the ball. But when they talk about a surgery to repair a thumb, and again, you're not his doctor, but what would you assume that he did?
Yeah, that's most likely what he sustained is called a gamekeeper's thumb or a skier's thumb injury, where the thumb gets pushed. If you bring your thumb away from the palm and bring it out as if you're about to grasp around a big, large mug or bottle, that thumb has to separate away from the palm. So most likely his thumb was away from the palm and then got pushed even further towards the elbow. And that bends the large knuckle, the two knuckles down from the tip of the thumb, that knuckle gets pushed the wrong way. It's only supposed to bend up and down in flexion and extension. When it gets pushed sideways, it then bends sideways because the ligament ruptures. And once that ligament ruptures, that's a surgical repair. And that's where the surgeon will say, you need this fixed, and you need surgery for that.
You know, it's amazing when you look at some of the quarterbacks. One thing that they almost all have in common, they have huge hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to grip that football how you have to grip it, unless you take a little air out of it, that's a little joke for my fantasy football quarterback that's coming back this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's you got to have those big hands to be able to do that.
Right.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to start talking a little bit about some causes, sport-related hand injuries, and we'll talk about common injuries to the hand. Before we get to a break, real quick, why the hand for you, Doctor?
You know what? I love the anatomy. It's intricate. It's detailed. It's the anatomy just got me. Every surgeon loves anatomy. You got to know your anatomy to be a good surgeon. And when it comes to the anatomy of the hand, I love that delicate, intricate nerves, arteries, tendons, and how they all work together. It's incredible.
Do you what day of the week is best for you? And this is a personal question, but you know what? As a surgeon, you enjoy
best
those
day
days?
Of the week. I like Saturday home with the family.
Okay, I'm sorry. Monday through Friday, because some days it's clinical for you, right?
Which day?
Some days you're...
Oh, yeah. Some days I'm in the office all day. Other days... You know what? The half and half days are not bad. I like operating in the morning and office in the afternoon. It mixes it up a little bit.
Is there an average of number of surgeries you do in a half day?
Oh,
can you do as many as three or four?
In a half a day,
yeah.
If you're doing a bunch of quick hand surgeries,
yeah,
you could do 7 to 9.
Wow. It's amazing, man. We're going to talk to him, Dr. Amin Afsari, who is here with us again. We're at State Fair Park, and I look at you guys, and especially I keep looking at your hands because that is, you know, your life, and you know you got to make sure you're taking care of those. Can't imagine you do any kickboxing or any of that stuff, right?
A little working out, but no kickboxing.
No, that's a smart. No. It's a smart man right there. We'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. That's Dreams from Van Hamlin. We are live from the Milwaukee Nearing Home and Remodeling Show, Wisconsin Expo Center at State Fair Park. We're in the middle of aisle 400. Stop by and say hello. Doors open up at 10 o'clock, and we'd love to see you from 10 to noon. We'll do our high school football coaches show. Head football coach from New Berlin Eisenhower, Matt Kern, is going to join us. Our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week will be here as well. And my co-host, Tom Swiddle, will be here. So stop by and say hello. Our special guest for the entire hour, and you can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Amin Afsari. He is a Whitefish Bay boy doing well, man. He has come back home a while ago, and He really does a great job. I've sent a number of people, as I said in that first segment, his way, who have had hand issues. And they've just raved about him as a doctor and as a man and a guy that explains exactly what's going on. Hey, during the break, you were talking about a meeting that you were at in Texas, the ASSH meeting. Can we go through that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the last segment with Randy and S&E Installation, you were talking about turducken.
Yes.
And that reminded me of the barbecue I had in Austin while I was at the ASSH meeting. So I got to tell you, if you're ever in Austin, go to Franklin Barbecue.
Okay.
You might have to stand in line at 8 a.m. And if you're not there at 8 a.m., if they run out of food, there's no dinner.
There's no dinner.
So you get there early. It's incredible. The food was phenomenal.
My niece, Kylie, is a on-air newscaster.
Oh, yeah.
In Austin.
Oh, wow.
And absolutely loves it.
That's great.
Yeah, she's been there a year now. And it took her a minute because she came from right out of Nashville.
Yeah.
And to Austin, big culture shock. She's from down in Tarpon Springs, Florida.
Wow.
So she loves it, and I'm sure she's been to Franklin.
Yeah, it seemed like a great town to me. So anyways, I was there for the American Society for Surgery of the Hand. It's an annual meeting that I go to whenever possible when I'm not on call. I'll get to that meeting.
Sure.
And we keep up to date on latest techniques, learn from the top hand surgeons in the country who are treating the NFL injuries, who are treating the NBA injuries, and make sure we're staying up to date on the latest techniques. So really a good meeting.
Yeah, when you go to a meeting like that, are you surprised or amazed at how far we've come in your industry?
I'll tell you, the things that are amazing in hand surgery right now are things like a field of hand surgery that honestly I don't deal with is hand amputations.
Okay.
I mean, they had three patients there. One had prosthetic hands, another had two hands placed, allografts, they're called allografts. They put hands back on, cadaver hands placed on, and then the third patient who had a total of six toes placed on for fingers. So those are the kinds of things that are really really getting advanced in hand surgery right now. But you know what's not too surprising is when you listen to the hand surgeons who treat the NFL injuries, they're really doing the same techniques we're doing. They're really doing the same stuff that we do to fix these injuries for our patients who are not in the NFL.
When you're watching an event, whether it's soccer or tennis or football or basketball, and you see somebody who gets hurt, and it's their hand, or it could be, I mean, your elbow or shoulder, right?
Yeah.
How quickly can you diagnose that from your couch?
It's pretty quick, as long as there's a good video of the injury. And I'll tell you, Mike, if the docs on the sideline had a TV in front of them watching the game instead of just standing there and looking out across the field, I'll bet you they could make diagnoses quicker than if they were just watching the game with the naked eye. When you see those videos, many times there's such a close-up, you get such a good angle, that you can come up with a differential diagnosis. Differential diagnosis means you can come up with two or three of the most common possible injuries to that joint.
By watching it.
Yeah, and many times I'll tweet about it. If I'm watching a game and I got time, I'll tweet out the injuries and expect either a quick recovery, short recovery. Now, you can never be exact, but it's fun to do.
He is Dr. Amin Afsari. You can go to mymosh.com for more information on him. And again, his background, if you didn't hear it in the first segment, is pretty incredible. Whitefish Bay guy, went to Los Angeles and Ohio and New York, and then came home. And he got all this knowledge and expertise and then came home. One last personal question, then I want to get into what causes sports-related hand injuries. Did you know at an early age that this is what you wanted to do?
Around high school, I was thinking medicine, be a doctor. So, and then the question was really, even into medical school, I wasn't sure what specialty I was going to do.
Yeah.
But interestingly, my mom went back to school later in life and became an occupational therapist, who's a therapist for the hand.
Yeah.
And so seeing her around the house with hand anatomy textbooks kind of led me that way and really drew my interest.
Good. You obviously a great student in high school.
You know what? I had to work hard,
but
I was a good student. I had to work hard for it. Didn't come easy.
Man, well, good for you. Your parents must be proud.
I think so.
They must be really proud. Yes. Hey, let's talk. So doing some research for the show today. Anytime you play a sport, there's a chance of injury. We know that. And I read this quote. Most sports involve close contact with other players as well as sports equipment, increasing the chance for accidental collision or impact. Even those who don't play a high-risk sport, there's a chance for chronic or overuse injuries from repeating the same motions. And so it went through a number of treatment options and some things like that. Mm-hmm. But some of the terms that you used before that I had never heard of, and as we're doing some of this, you know, I thought, wow, I need to ask him. So I took a few of them and just wanted to kind of go through some of the stuff that we were looking at. What's the most common hand injury that you see?
One of the most common, especially from sports, would be a mallet finger. We discussed that previously. The finger gets jammed at the tip. It suddenly bends down, and then the tendon on the back of the finger droops so that the end knuckle then droops. And you can't straighten it fully. As hard as you try, you can't straighten out that knuckle. And you'll probably see these around. When you walk around and see people just walking at the mall or wherever, you'll see mallet fingers. And they look different, but functionally they work great. Another common injury, we see the gamekeeper's thumb, like the Patriots quarterback. That's a common one. Sprains of the middle knuckle of the finger. So even without a dislocation, without a fracture, those knuckles get sprained when you jam the finger. And then the question becomes, when is a jammed finger something that you can't just ignore and say, it's just a finger? When does that have to be addressed? And that's those little sprains of the middle knuckle can cause a lot of stiffness and swelling, and it can last for months.
As a parent, mm-hmm. And I have a son who played a lot of basketball, you know, the jam finger, and you can only say that's a long way from the heart, you know, that coach's thing. You know, no, it's swollen. It should be swollen. You know, yeah. I know the younger they are, they shouldn't, their knuckle, their finger shouldn't be swollen. And right. when would you recommend that we call you and get in?
So the younger kids have open growth plates, and the open growth plate is actually a cartilage line through the bone where the bone is still growing from that cartilage plate, and that is the weak spot in the finger. And when the children jam their finger, we do have to worry about that cartilage growth plate, cartilaginous growth plate breaking and having a fracture through the growth plate. And as you get older and those growth plates close, then the ligaments are the weak spot and the ligaments get injured. So the point at which you got to get this checked is when they can't make a full fist, can't straighten fully, and the pain continues for more than, you know, the ballpark here is 12, 24 hours, even especially when it gets to 48 hours, they're still swollen. It's all about range of motion. If you can't make a fist and you can't straighten fully, you should get it checked.
You know, finger sprains, especially in basketball and football as well, are something that we see as coaches a lot, and we think if we just tape them together that's going to probably, for some reason years ago, that's what people did.
Yeah, taping them up doesn't hurt things. When there's an injury that occurs, it doesn't hurt to tape up the fingers. But again, if you can't make a fist and straighten fully by 24 to 48 hours, you should get it checked. And that involves an x-ray just to make sure that it's just a sprain. And if it is just a sprain, great. Then we know you can get it moving and you can be aggressive and buddy tape then and protect it.
Doctor, if you look at the palm of your hand, mm-hmm. Underneath the knuckle, there are times when I would sprain a finger and this would get really tight and feel almost like, I don't know how to explain it, almost like a snake kind of, you know?
A snake?
Well, not. I hope not. But just really tight, and I never knew what caused that.
Well, it was probably. So what you're pointing at is the palm side of the hand at mm-hmm. the finger, and it's just in the base of the finger itself.
Correct.
And that's an area where if you bend the finger backwards, a ligament can partially tear. You can get a little bit of bleeding from that injury, and that blood will collect and form a thick, firm kind of scar. And that is what causes stiffness and some pain, and you got to work that out and stretch it out with some exercises, sometimes with a hand therapist if it's severe, sometimes on your own, to get that moving again fully.
Yeah, and it would happen, you know, after doing something stupid most of the time.
Oh, sure.
Punching something or hitting something, you know that?
Yep.
And so either the middle finger or my the ring finger, it would get really tight, and I had no idea, and the hand would be sore until that was done, and you're laughing at me, but that...
I'm laughing because, well, you know what? I'll tell you, speaking of common injuries, I'll bet I have something in common with all the contractors here, Mike.
What's that?
Is that we've probably all seen a nail in a hand.
Oh, I bet.
We see that? Oh, yeah, just a couple weeks ago, actually, and I had to go to surgery to get it out. But
how big was the nail?
It was long. You'd be impressed by that x-ray. I mean, it went all the way across, about three fingers across.
Is there anything that he's going to have a problem
no,
with?
No, luckily did not go into a joint.
Wow.
It tends to push things out of the way so it doesn't cut.
Yeah.
And so many times you can just pull it out, and it usually heals fine, and you got to watch out for infection.
How long will he – does he have a cast on?
No cast. No fracture occurred.
Wow.
Yeah.
He pounded it perfectly.
Yeah.
See, that's a good contractor, right?
That's a good contractor.
That's a good contractor right there. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with our special guest. He's Dr. Amin Afsari. He is with Mosh. You can go to Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Go to mymosh.com for more information. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. You know that Mitch is picking the music All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. It's not your music, is it?
That was a good tune. I used to listen to that stuff in high school.
You did? That's good, Mitch. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Dr. Mean, I'm sorry. He likes the music.
That's
you know,
good.
I wouldn't look gone with Jimi Hendrix, but you guys are cooler than I am. We are live at the Wisconsin Expo Center, State Fair Park, live from the Milwaukee Neri Home and Remodeling Show. We are in aisle 400. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Stop by and say hello. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show, and we're talking a lot about injuries to the hand. If we can, we talked during the break, Doctor, about skateboard fractures.
Skateboard, and, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, huh?
Well, there is, and it's surprising how minimal pain there is with a scaphoid fracture. You can fall on your outstretched hand, your wrist, your palm goes and hits the ground, and your wrist goes backwards.
And could you pronounce it again for me?
Scaphoid.
Scaphoid. Thank you.
Yeah, and it feels like you've sprained your wrist. It doesn't feel like a significant fracture. It doesn't feel like you had anything major that you know. So many people don't even go to the doctor. They treat it as a sprain. Many high schoolers want to finish their season. They don't want to get it treated. They don't want to get it checked. They play through that little bit of pain, and it is a little bit of pain. But later on, if you find that the pain doesn't go away and the swelling continues and then there's stiffness that continues and we take an x-ray, you can find a scaphoid fracture that was missed, wasn't diagnosed initially, and then ends up as a bone that doesn't heal. When a bone doesn't heal, that's called a non-union.
Okay.
A non-union of the scaphoid, in 5 to 10 years, you're going to have arthritis in your wrist, and you're going to regret missing that.
Do you see that a lot when you're doing surgery or you're doing MRI, injuries that people didn't get fixed when they were younger?
Not a ton, but you do certainly see it in the wrist, and you see it in the scaphoid, and you see it in I have a friend from high school whose dad has it, and every time I see him, I ask him about his wrist, and it's swollen, it's thick, it's swollen, it's stiff, and that wrist does not look normal. But
he could, and for him to get that fixed would
require, at this point, you can't just go back and fix the scaphoid. It's too late now. It's too far gone. So now at this point, it's some sort of partial wrist fusion or total wrist fusion to address that arthritis now.
Have you done those?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What's the recovery on something like that?
You know what? Similar to a broken bone, 6 weeks for a fusion to take. A fusion is where you get that whole joint to turn into bone, and that way the pain is eliminated. And that's a drastic surgery to have to undergo if you miss a scaphoid fracture as a high school footballer.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the surgery that you do on the hand and the wrist, compared to where it was years ago, and we talked about this earlier in the show, but where I'm going to this, my brother had, my oldest brother, Jim, lives down in Atlanta, and he had a hip replacement about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And they told him he was going to have to do the other one. And he said, it was so bad 7 years ago,
yeah,
I don't want to do it. Well, it came to the point that he couldn't hit a golf ball anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's 64 years old.
Yeah.
And he finally said, you know what, I'm going to have to go through this again.
Yeah.
And he called me the next day, and he said, I can't believe I waited this long
right.
because it's nothing compared to where it was 7 years ago.
Well, you know what, Mike? Total hip replacement has one of the highest patient satisfactions.
Does it really?
That's one surgery is one of the highest patient satisfactions because exactly the story you just told. Patients are so happy they had it done. They actually recover pretty quickly. And I would tell you, I've had patients with finger injuries who took longer to recover than a total hip replacement.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, this time of year with football, and we're talking during the break with Will, I'm surprised that quarterbacks don't hit helmets more.
Yeah.
And he's surprised that players don't get their hands stepped on more.
Right.
And they might, but they're not breaking anything, correct?
Many times, yeah. You can get stepped on the hand with a cleat, and I'll tell you, this has happened to me as a soccer goalie and sweeper. I've been stepped on, and it's amazing how the hand can take that force, you know, whether it's the soft ground underneath and the stability of the metacarpals and the inner metacarpal ligament traversing the metacarpals that helps support and stabilize, but they don't tend to fracture. You don't see fractures from that commonly. The quarterback's follow-through, you know, that I think the hand can take that blow pretty efficiently, pretty well without breaking. You might, if your finger's out straight, you might jam a finger. If you strike the small finger, the large knuckle on the small finger, you might sustain a boxer fracture. But again, you don't see that commonly.
No, you don't. Hey, we talked about prevention. And if you have a knee problem, you wear a knee brace, an ankle, to prevent ankle sprains in basketball, you know, we as the coaching staff at Martin Luther, Coach Wallersheim has always believed in wearing braces. We're being told now that maybe you shouldn't do that. It was kind of the commonplace for a long time. Mm-hmm. Prevention with your hands, a different story. Not a lot of prevention.
And the hand, you know, we can certainly, if you're a lineman, you can certainly tape up your knuckles. You can tape up the knuckles that have been injured before, and those will help prevent them from bending backwards and getting a hyperextension injury. But if going into a game, if you haven't had a prior injury, there's not much to wear on the hand to really protect it from those activities. But certainly as a lineman, or if you're in the trenches and you want to tape up, that's certainly fine. Padded gloves can certainly help avoid severe contusions, or it may have softened the blow, which might have caused a small fracture. So depending on your position, I recently had a lineman, a high school football player in town who fractured a metacarpal, and we fixed it. We plated it, similar to Jeff Janis's injury, and yep. He wore a club, and he was able to get back. So we had him clubbed as a protective covering, and he was able to start playing after 3 weeks. But, you know, in the hand, it's not like the J.J. Watt's elbow where you can put a hinged elbow brace on and protect that elbow the rest of his career.
Hey, Janis, I think is he going to be able to come back soon? I think they took the club off.
Yeah, I think he's back now without the club.
Right. It's the fear of him hurting that injured area again, is that high for you as a doctor?
You know, my impression of the Packers medical staff is that they're pretty conservative, and they're not going to put a guy back out there when the risk is high that he'll re-injure. They know they'll be worse off if that happens. They learned that lesson with Clay Matthews a couple years ago,
I think. They did.
He had a Bennett's fracture, base of the thumb, and I think, I don't know how that was fixed, pinning or casting, he went back out and he refractured.
When you say the base of the thumb, so just on the inside, so take the thumb all the way down right near the, on the other side of the...
Correct. Follow your thumb all the way down almost to the wrist joint.
Okay.
And that's the joint that allows your thumb to actually move in circles. It can circumduct is what that's called when you move it in circles. And that's the joint. It's shaped like a saddle. And it allows you to bring the thumb towards the palm, away from the palm, and bring it into the same plane as the thumb, and then bring it all the way across to the small finger and bend it. That joint's very mobile, and that's the one that can break, and you can get what's called a Bennett's fracture there.
And that's what he did.
That's what he had. Yeah, and, wow. And he re-injured shortly after he got back out there, and then he was out even longer.
I think
with Rodgers' clavicle fracture, I think they waited extra long. The tricky part with broken bones is on X-ray, it may not be fully healed even at 6 weeks, but it feels fine. But on X-ray, you still see that fracture line, and you wonder, you know, no one can say for sure, is it going to break real easy if you let them back out there or not? But with Janis, he got plate on that hand. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. That's tough when you're a receiver. You know, those are like you guys, that's his life right there. Yeah. So, hey, let's get to a break. We are live. We're at the Wisconsin Expo Center, State Fair Park, middle of aisle 400, right across from Valley of Wisconsin. Decks, fences, outdoor structures, gazebos. Looks like a good guy over there. We'll say hello to him. But Valley of Wisconsin, Knutson Brothers, Chris Egner, design, build, and remodel, middle of aisle 400. Stop by. Doors open at 10 o'clock. I'll be here at this location till noon. I'll be at the show till about 6 o'clock doing a bunch of stuff. Actually, can you believe it? They have me hosting a do-it-yourself disaster segment up on the stage.
Is that appropriate for you, Mike?
It's perfect.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm typecasting. And you know what? It's great. Great casting. We'll be back. Our special guest for the entire hour. You can go to mymosh.com for more information. Dr. Amin Afsari, and he is a good one. Again, Whitefish Bay guy, and you will certainly enjoy doing some research on him and some of the things that that he does. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show, The Clash. You didn't pick this one, did you?
No, not on any of my playlists.
No, mine either. But, hey, Mitch is happy we're out here, and he's going to pick the music today.
Yep, got it all to myself in here today.
DJ Mitch right there. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We are live from the Milwaukee Neri Home and Remodeling Show, the Wisconsin Expo Center at State Fair Park, in aisle 400, middle of aisle 400. Right across from Valley of Wisconsin. Stop by and say hello when you get a chance. Special guest for the entire hour, Dr. Amin Afsari. He is just a really good guy. That's all I can tell you. Go to mymosh.com for more information on him, some of the things that that he's involved with. Does a lot with the hand, the wrist, mm-hmm. Elbow. Shoulder?
Up to the shoulder as well, yeah.
Yeah, up to the shoulder as well. We talked to Will during the break, and he said, you know, with MMA being so big, mm-hmm. do you get a lot of injuries? Do you see a lot of athletes from that sport, boxing?
Well,
MMA
the boxing stuff? Injuries I see, Mike, are mostly amateur boxers.
Okay.
And these amateur boxers are not actually technically not boxers.
Right.
They are people who are upset.
Okay. they're fighters.
They're fighters.
Right? Yeah.
And they get upset and they hit an immovable object. So the key to being an amateur boxer is to not hit an immovable object. And then the next key is make sure you know which knuckles to hit with. Because if you're going to punch, you don't want to hit with that small finger knuckle.
Okay.
Because the joint at the base of that fifth metacarpal is mobile. And so that fifth metacarpal, that small finger metacarpal, can flex up and down. So if you take your small finger, large knuckle, and move it up and down, you can see how much that flexes.
Right.
And that allows increased force on that metacarpal neck, which causes a boxer fracture. So what real pugilists, the pugilists are boxers who've been trained, they hit with the index finger and the long finger. And those two large knuckles are able to take a more forceful blow without breaking.
So if somebody's going to a trainer and they're doing MMA stuff or boxing stuff, or nine round, which is around here you can work out.
Sure.
When you're doing that, you should concentrate on hitting
with your index and long finger knuckles. Correct. Those will take a stronger blow. That's if you're really hitting hard, Mike.
Yeah, I don't hit that hard anymore. You know what? At my age, I got one good fight left in me, and I don't know when it's going to happen. But yeah, one quick question that somebody from work had asked: what can cause swollen and painful hands? Her husband has swollen and painful hands a lot, and he doesn't want to go see anybody.
So the most common thing I see in the office is, you know, older patients, 50s, 60s, and they're having inflammation through the hands. And to be honest, many times the cause is unknown exactly. But we wake up in the morning, the hands are a little swollen, they're a little stiff. It's just a diffuse inflammation through the hands. There may be a process going on systemically in the body that's causing this, or it may be just the previous day's wear and tear on the hand, whether it's work, whether it's home activities, yard work. and the tendons get a little swollen, a little inflamed, and then it's stiff when you wake up in the morning. You may even develop a trigger finger. That's a common diagnosis we see. When you wake up, and one finger gets stuck down, and the other fingers will straighten, but that one finger clicks open, and that's a trigger finger.
Painful?
Sometimes pretty painful. Other times doesn't hurt much at all, but it triggers for sure.
We had talked earlier in the first segment about arthritis.
Yeah.
And in my wife's family, there's some of that's gone on. Is there a way to relieve some of that pain?
Yes, and cortisone works great on tendonitis. Not so much the arthritis. Cortisone can work as a temporizing measure. It may last for years sometimes in certain joints. For tendonitis, cortisone can cure it. So cortisone can really cure tendonitis. 60% of the time, it'll get rid of a trigger finger forever.
One thing about dealing with the guys from MOSH, you're when somebody comes to see you, your first thought is how to get them back on the field of the court without surgery.
Yep.
And I like that about you guys. It seems like anybody who I send to any of the doctors at MOSH, the first reaction is, okay, here's what's going on. Let's figure out if we can get you back on the field, on the court. And whether you're a weekend warrior guy my age or high school kids, you know, what you want to do is get them back being active.
Keep them active, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's really important. Dr. Reed, it's really good to see you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Yeah, I appreciate you having me to Nary so I can see how much money I'm supposed to should spend on my house right now.
You know what? These guys are happy to have you here, in fact. Randy Miller, his booth is right over that way. Go say hi and then take a walk, man. It's a really good show. I'll be here again live till noon doing the radio stuff and then up on stage. Introducing some people. Doors are about to open at the Wisconsin Expo Center. We are live from the Milwaukee Near Home and Remodeling Show. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.